We are so glad to have you here tonight. Thank everybody that helped with the food ministry. It's good to see all of you. And let's get started. Are you ready for a good word? Are you ready for a word from the Word? All right, then, if you would take your Bibles and where is... Buddy, are you back there? Can somebody come up here and get this, or should I go back there? I don't mind going back there. Thank you, Frank. Turn with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 9, verse 1, and we'll get started there tonight. I've got a word I want to share with you entitled Next of Kin. So let me just get over here. Okay. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. Now, this is when Paul's name was Saul, and he persecuted the church. He needed a little tune-up. And anybody from time to time need a little tune-up? I know I do. Well, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, that's talking about Christians, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. See, he was going to be a real zealous, hard kind of a guy against Christianity. Well, that doesn't work. Nothing stands against Christianity. The Roman Empire fell in not very many years when it came against the Church of the Living God. Whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined around him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? Everybody say, Lord. I'm going to make a point about that word. And the Lord said unto him, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now, I didn't write that. I'm just reading it. Don't anybody... And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told unto you what you must do. Saul was a man that was going to hold the word as he understood it. And he tells us later on in the letters that he was overlooked for because what he did against the church, he did out of ignorance. So he wasn't, God let him live, saved him, and praise God, he was a wonderful. Paul called him Lord a couple of times in these verses. And I want to make a point here that is really not what the Lord wants us to call him. He wants us to call him Father. That's what it is in the New Testament. Jesus, the Savior, announced that. And let's go to John 16, 23 and 24, and you'll see that. And in that day, this is Jesus speaking, you will ask me nothing. Now, words are important, and the way that things are supposed to go are important in the Bible. And Jesus is making a point here that in the New Covenant, everybody say the New Covenant, that people would do things this way. And in that day, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Now, words and the way things are done are very important in the Bible. And a couple of years ago, I caught this, and I just began to call Creator God Father. And I think it's important to do so. And you judge tonight. Whatever you do, that's fine with me. But I'm going to teach the truth as I understand it. If you understand something different about these verses or any verses that I share, come to me. You bring your Bible, I'll get mine, and we'll work it out. I could be wrong on something. Did you know that? I'm telling you the truth. I could be. Now, I haven't been in 30-something years, but I guess I could be. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Now, do it this way, the Lord is saying. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. I'm going to a place with these verses. Now let me have Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4, and we're going to get a little more specific here. And it came to pass that as Jesus, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples to pray. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, or call God the Father, Father. There's a very important reason for that. There's a metamorphosis or a change about to happen. The Old Testament is about to be completed, and the New Testament is about to be birthed. It was birthed at Jesus Christ, at his cross. And I want you to notice here, and as you look in the New Testament, whenever Jesus spoke to his Father, he called him Father. You get what you say, really. I've heard that said many times, and I believe that with all of my heart. And he said, pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted also to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And this is one place where we see Jesus saying, not only don't you pray to me, you pray to the Father, and not only that, but you ask you call him Father. And there's a specific reason, like I said. And so in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, we see these words. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, the children of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now, however you study this out, that means right then, back then, around close to 2,100 years ago, from that point on, we became not the servants of God. We became the children of God. There is a huge, huge difference, and that you should think about when you pray, when you address the Lord. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man, every person that has this hope in them purifies themselves even as he's pure. I want to say that the Lord's Supper, communion, one of the great impetus is that purification. It is a form of going through what the Word says for the purpose of purification. It is a time when the Word says you need to examine your heart. And if there's anything in there that it shouldn't be, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from our sins. The way that sin comes out of your life is not with us bucking up against something as much as following the process that God says. There's the cross process that makes us next of kin to the Lord. Let me read a little bit of that again. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what... Could you please put that back where I was reading? 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Beloved, verse 2, now are we the sons of God. And what that means is the day was 2,100 years ago. We stopped being servants and we began being children of God. There's a huge difference. What kind of a difference? Let me give an example. Say that you get a speeding ticket and you decide, I'm going to go to court. And you want to find out who the judge is. See? And that's what it was like. Who is the judge? Well, God was the judge. He was Lord. They called him Lord over and over again in the Old Testament. Now, in the New Testament, though, we become the adopted children of God. And we're going to look at that verse. And turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 8, verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. See, it's not a matter of doing things out of a heart of fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. Everybody say the spirit of adoption. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. We are the children of God, and that means that we are heirs, okay? Let me say that again. If you go before a judge for anything, a misdemeanor, a big crime, a little crime, a ticket, you're going to want to know who the judge is. In fact, somebody will ask you, well, who's the judge there today? And you may find that out. You may find out they're a good judge or they're a bad judge, they're a harsh judge. You'll find that out. But what God wants us to get the mindset of is that we are the children of God and that God the Father is our Father, and he wants us to call him Father. And it would be like when you go before your father, that's not like going before somebody that you don't know. It had the implication in the Old Testament, we really didn't know him very much. In fact, the Apostle Paul said, oh, that I might know him in the fellowship of his suffering, in the power of his resurrection, speaking of our Savior. It's by the Savior, and I'm going to go along, and I'm going to make a point here. My mother gave us the starting money to have this cross, and we bought it. Bought this in Boonville, had it made. I told him how I wanted it made. And this centerpiece, we had that made, and then we had it attached on there. And here's the cross. We were over here. Mankind was going along, and we were the servants of God. I'm not saying they didn't say we were children of God at that time. They did a little bit. But mostly, and mostly what you hear, just like from Abraham, he called God Adonai, which means master, okay? But nobody, you don't see a lot of people in the Old Testament calling God Father. We were going along for many, many years, around 3,700 years. And then when the time was fully come, we came to the cross. At the cross, we fully met and embraced Jesus, and God the Father loved us so much that he declared that whosoever would believe on Jesus would not perish but have eternal life. And when we got up, and for the last 2,100 years, we are now the children of God. Well, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but see, we should recognize, honor, and have a fear of reverence of our parents, but not in the same way as a God that we don't really know. And that's what it was all about under the old covenant. He was the God. We knew he was the creator. We didn't know much else about him. And he did not talk to the whole earth. He talked to the Jewish people, the nation of Israel. And he made them certain promises that if they could keep all the law, that they wouldn't have any problems, that he could bless them. But nobody can keep all of the law. And you don't, and I don't to this day, but we have received sonship, daughtership. We're the children of the Most High God, and he loves us. We have received the spirit of adoption. Does anybody know anything about adoption? An adopted child has more rights than a natural born child to somebody. And Evan never spent one moment calling me Brother Angelo. And I told my daughters, and they call me Dad, all four of them. They're all my daughters by the power of adoption. And I mean that. And I take care of them that way. I do the best that I can. And I hate that I can't control them anymore. They do dumb things. But what can you do? All I am is a dad. I'm not a judge anymore. Now, you have not received the spirit of bondage again, because that was a form of bondage. Now, God had his favorites spoken of in the Old Testament that he really liked, but pretty much people were under the spirit of bondage again to fear. That's the way people, unsaved people, still are today. We must be born again. Jesus told that to one of the high teachers of the law. I believe it was Nicodemus. And what Nicodemus said to Jesus, he said, Lord, does that mean I have to go into my mother's womb and come out again? And Jesus reprimanded him and said this, you know, you're a teacher of the children of Israel, and you don't know this, and you have to ask a question like that? See, they didn't have it. Jesus had to explain it, and he had to live it out. He had to demonstrate who he was. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. When John the Baptist was baptizing Jesus, that's what everybody heard. When we see Jesus, as in John 17, the famous prayer, he calls him Father. In fact, when we see him throughout the New Testament, the four Gospels, he calls God the Father, Father. Father, let this cup pass for me, if there's any way possible. He asked three times. Then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And he came to do a work that nobody else could do. He was every bit mankind, and he was every bit God. But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we call Abba, Father. Abba means, I will obey you, Father. I used to think that it meant Daddy, but it doesn't mean Daddy. It means, I will obey you, Father. I will do what you've told me to do. And we try to do that. In just a moment, we're going to, how many of you here believe that you're born again in here? Okay. Yes. Well, what we're going to do, that's maybe all of us, we're going to examine our hearts. And then that's what you do before communion. Now, that's what the Word says. The Word says if you don't take communion right, it's better. Why take it? For this cause, many of you are weak, you fail in life, and some of you die before your time. That's what the Word of God says. Now, that doesn't mean that you should be afraid to take communion. That means that you should take communion and be afraid to take it in an unworthy manner. Does that make sense to you? Where's a reference for that? 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The Apostle Paul brought that up. I think I brought that up last week. I bring it up all the time. But anyhow, the Spirit, it's not itself. There's not a gender to the Holy Spirit in the Bible. I personally believe the Holy Spirit could be the female part of God, because he created man in his image, both male and female, but beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How many of you have that sense in your life? I'm a child of God. Okay, now, if you want your prayers to go a little bit further, I believe I would call him Father, as Jesus commanded and taught. Okay, when you pray, say, my Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, so on and so forth. Is it important? It's extremely important. You know, if one of my kids called me Angelo, I would be insulted, and I would let them know I wasn't happy with that. Okay, but anyhow, I want you to see this, and I want you to grow by this, because if you call the Creator Father, Father enough, you're going to begin to see him that he's much more than the God of the world. He's much more than the Creator. He loves you. He's your Father. The only thing different about between him and any other father. Some of you have had very good fathers. Millie had a really good dad, but he wasn't as good as God the Father, was he, hon? For one thing, we're just mankind. So we came to the cross. The cross is offered to everybody on this planet. everybody that wants the cross. And people, some say yes, most say no. Sometimes the smallest things, I hate to tell you how long it took me to see this and understand this and pray about it and get it. He's my Father. Do I still call him Lord? Accidentally, sometimes I still do, but I mean Father. Millie, who's right there with me, she's beginning to call him Father because he is our Father. Wouldn't it be weird for your children to call you brother or sister so-and-so? That would be weird, wouldn't it? Do you see that, Jill? You see that, Paul? Yeah. Sam, do you see that? Yes, I think you do. So we are not going to worry about time. And what I mean by that, I'm not worried about staying here till 8 o'clock. Hallelujah. I just spit it out and then that's it. And most of the time, it's early. I think it's going to be early. I'm getting an amen back there. That's good. I've had people tell me before, hey, my favorite program is on at blah, blah, so such a time. Man, that Danny, what was that Danny's name? And he used to sit right back there and say, look, and he'd be smiling and say, I got to get out of here on time because the Jets or whoever, they're playing, and it's an important game. And I just look at them and I say, I'll do the best I can. And what it's made me realize, I don't know why, but I just, I could put 15 verses there and still be, I mean, it's just, that's not what it's a matter of or not a matter of. And so somebody that preaches longer, there's nothing wrong with that. We have full rights as children. The word says in many more places than I've showed the concept, the truth that I taught tonight. Everything that we do in this church, we do it for a biblical, scriptural reason. That's how I set the first 35, 6, 7 years of this church. We take communion because it's important. As often as you do eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you do show my death until I return. So we do it often. We do it once a week. We offer it to everybody. A few people, as are here tonight, take us up on that. And if you've been here very long in communion service, you'll feel good about yourself. You'll feel good about it. You'll begin to get an understanding about your own life. And the word says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, but let a person examine themselves and then let them take communion. That's why we have a moment where we ask if you would make an altar at your seat, if you possibly can, or come to the altar. It doesn't matter if I'm a minister or not or whatever.